Welcome to the Button Click Admin Podcast. I'm Mike Gerhold.
And I'm Jillian Nadell.
We're talking to Salesforce admins and developers to give you best practices, tips, and advice to help you be successful.
But Mike, before we get into our content today, what's going on?
Oh, we're talking about, I don't know, connected things. Like, my garage door is connected to my phone, and I think it's just amazing that I can pull out my phone, even when I'm in San Francisco, and be like, oh, my garage door's been closed for 2 days now.
So is that like, you know, the hip bone's connected to the knee bone?
Right. It's like, yeah, it's like the internet's connected to everything now. So that's kind of what's on my mind of like, admins are going to start running into connected things and companies making connected things. And I think we need to start learning about that and understanding it some more. And then unicorns, because unicorns are awesome, right, Jillian?
Unicorns are like my spirit animal. Actually, narwhals are probably my spirit animal because it's like the mermaid equivalent of a unicorn. But anyway, for anyone who knows what a narwhal is, you're awesome.
Google it if you don't know.
Well, yeah, so today we have the perfect person to talk to us about Internet of Things and building unicorns and all this stuff. And it's your colleague, Mike.
It is. Fellow evangelist Joshua Burke, who's a developer evangelist at Salesforce and unicorn builder. So welcome to the podcast, Josh.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I think, you know, we should probably get started. Developer evangelist, you're a peer to the admin evangelist team, but I'd love to know how you came to Salesforce.
Yeah, it's kind of a roundabout story, and I'll try to make it short, but it's hard to make this short because I'm really old, and so there's a lot of backstory there. I was a web developer from way on back. I worked at State Farm when they were doing their first intranet implementation, basically, and that kind of led me into the role of not just being a developer, but also being a consultant. My job at State Farm was a lot of working with people and talking with people and getting their needs kind of figured out and then going out and actually implementing a solution to that. And that got me into a job here in Chicago, where I've been ever since, working basically at a web boutique back in the dot-com days, where we're just building dot-com sites. And that group of people at a job called Organic, basically are still kind of my core group of friends, and some of them still work at Salesforce. And we've sort of bounced around from each other's jobs. And when we want to look for a job, we usually kind of start talking with each other and we're like, well, what are you doing? And this occurred to me while I was working actually at Creative Barrel. I was getting kind of burned out there. And I was talking to this friend of mine, Jason Ernst, who's actually now still with the company. And he was working at a company called Model Metrics. And Jason was like, well, Model's doing a lot of Flex. And we won't go into the details of Flex because it's basically an obsolete technology now. But he was like, we're doing a lot of Flex for Salesforce. And my question, my only real question was, what's Salesforce? Like, I had never heard of Salesforce. I didn't know what CRM stood for or anything like that. And so I went into an interview with Model Metrics, and that was my first conversation with Reid Carlberg. And so Reid interviewed me. We still actually joke about those days because Reid was coming from a very CRM consultant point of view. And so we joke because he's like, I thought I was giving you these really hardcore questions about JavaScript. And I'm like, yeah, I Googled that like in 5 minutes. Like, it was a really simple task, actually. So I ended up working at Model Metrics as a consultant, and really wanted to kind of eventually get out of the grind of working on big enterprise projects with big clients. And actually, ironically, one of those clients was Salesforce. Like, we were doing the partner portal refresh for Salesforce, and that's where I met people like Leila Seca and Michael Brosenbaum, Ed Park. And eventually, that rolled into a conversation with Dave Carroll. Because while at some point there was conversations about whether or not, you know, I could move from Model Metrics to Salesforce, they would always encourage some kind of a move. Everybody wanted me to move to the Bay Area. Dave Carroll was the first person to be like, I want you to stay in Chicago, and I want you to be an evangelist in Chicago. And so it worked out well for everybody. And I really – one of the things I love about the job is that it takes all of these aspects from consultancy and working with people, but my focus now is not making – big clients happy with big projects, but making developers happy in their job and making them more successful in their job. And so it's a wonderful evolution, and I'm really happy with being at Salesforce now.
I think you win the award for most names dropped on the podcast.
That's a lot of names.
I know. A lot of big names. Just name dropping left and right. So it's interesting you bring up Reid Carlberg, because we shared Reid as a boss. Yep. And when I started at Salesforce, he told me a couple things. And one piece of advice he gave me, which is the title of the episode today, is what is the unicorn you're building next? And he explained it in a way of, have you heard about what Josh is working on? And so I want to rewind the world back to about May 2014 and find out what this unicorn that Josh was working on was.
Yeah, so your timeline's almost spookily precise. It's May was when I was actually almost finished with a prototype application called Metals. And to rewind the clock a little bit more, to understand why I was writing and coding Metals and designing Metals, you kind of understand what I'd been doing. A lot of my job for the first 3 years I was with Salesforce in developer evangelism was curating the content for our workshop program. So we had what was called Elevate at the time that we were talking about. We go out and we do these day-long workshops to get people ramped up on the platform. Basically, we teach you a little bit of CRM, we teach a little bit of Visual Force, we teach a little bit of Apex. And having done that and having done a lot of workshops themselves, and having done different iterations of the content and trying to make different variations of the content, it occurred to me that constantly we were running into this basic problem, which was I would go to a workshop and it would be a 101 intro to the platform. We assume you don't know anything about Salesforce. We'd assume you don't even know what Apex is. And we're just trying to teach you the basics of it. But I would go to these workshops and I would see somebody there I knew from developer group meetups who had driven like 3 hours to come to the workshop, basically just to hang out with Salesforce people. And this person is somebody who's been, you know, coding Apex for 3 years. And so how do you take a group of people, and there's no way we kept trying to like change copy for the, you know, when we sent out the invites and things like that to emphasize that this is a beginner. It didn't matter. We show up to places and we can't really control who wants to come talk to us. So instead of trying to control that, the question came up, how do we change the content that we're delivering to people so that we can have this varied layers, basically. So you could have something that a beginner can chew on, an intermediate person can chew on, an advanced person can chew on. And the first iteration was actually something called extra credit, which was an idea myself and Peter Chittum came up with. Peter Chittum, also a developer evangelist over on the other side of the ocean. And it was challenges that we wrote in GitHub. So we put code up in GitHub, and the code was usually incomplete or incorrect in some way. And the challenge was fix this code and learn something new about the platform, like learn how an Apex REST endpoint should be formed, learn how a background trigger should work properly or something like that. And it worked beautifully. Like I started doing, I think I did 3 actual workshops where we had this kind of material. And at the end of every section, so I would give an intro to Apex. And then at the end of that section, I could be like, oh, or if you want to do extra credit, you could go here. And you could learn a little bit more about Apex and you could challenge yourself a little bit better. And the feedback we got was great. And it really did give those advanced developers something to chew on. The problem was it had no real good way to actually deliver that content. Like GitHub is a great repository for code, and it's a great way to control your source control. It's not really a great tutorial framework. It's not really a great way to just give somebody the ability to like learn something, and especially not in an interactive way. And that was where the Metals prototype came to be. So the Metals prototype was intended to solve 2 basic problems. One, it was supposed to give us a lightweight framework to put these challenges together, write the content for them, host them online, and make them easy to find for people. And then the other idea was to see how interactive we could make this. So instead of having somebody do a little bit of code and then raise their hand and ask the teacher to come say, did I do this right, or explain why it's not working right, just be able to hit a button. We have all these APIs on the platform. We have one of the most mature, comprehensive set of APIs, I think, of any company of our size. And the question was, can we use these APIs to check the challenge that we just gave you? And one of my early fears was that it wasn't really going to work. Like, it was going to be very limited in what we were going to be able to detect. And that fear really evaporated very quickly. So we found out that there were a lot of APIs that we could use to see what you were doing in your developer edition. So the prototype that I showed to Reed Metals was basically a little server, you know, on Heroku that would pop up in your developer edition, and it would give you this challenge, and then you read through the challenge, and then in your developer edition you try to do the challenge and you click a button and you see a little prompt, and the prompt will tell you if you did it right or not, and if you did it right, then you got 100 points. And if that sounds familiar, it sounds familiar because that prototype basically re-kicked the ball up to Adam. Adam kicked the ball up to Mike Rosenbaum. And I think it was in May, Mike sent an email to, I think it was actually the whole developer evangelist team. And it was basically like, why are we trying to see if we can buy a MOOC when we can, you know, an online comprehensive tutorial, basically, when we can just build our own? And as soon as Mike said that, then I think our fates were sealed, and Trailhead was relatively born.
So that's the story of the beginnings of Trailhead, which is pretty amazing.
It's the story of it's one. So Trailhead's kind of an interesting child of two projects. And I was, Mike, we've talked about this before. Like, I hate to use the word synergy, but I actually think this is an appropriate use of the word synergy. At the same time I was doing that, the docs team was taking a look at what they were doing with, you know, it's actually very similar content, right? With the workshop program, we were using workbooks and a lot of things that the docs team were putting together. And they wanted to redo that in what was called at the time learning paths. And so learning paths was this concept of well-curated guided tutorials. So you do one tutorial and then you know where to go to next. And so if you go to our site and you don't know anything about the platform, it's not a mystery. You should know, I can start here and I can do these three things, and then I'm going to learn about leads, and I'll learn about CRM, and I'll learn about Apex. And so just very conveniently, they were approaching a point where they were actually going to start writing that content at the almost the same time that that email came down from Mike. And so Trailhead, when you look at it, it's this amalgamation of many things. It's the same ideas that came from Metals, rewritten into a production environment by our dev team. And it's also the content that the docs team was creating in that wonderful trail experience where you don't feel lost and you feel like, I want to learn Apex today, and it's not confusing as to where you should go.
I mean, I'm still fascinated about how fast this all happened. I mean, I know that, you know, obviously there was definitely some time between, you know, your process of learning what was missing in Elevate and, you know, coming up the idea for this Metals app, and then kind of happened to coordinate with the docs effort to kind of focus on learning paths. But I mean, what an amazing combination of efforts to kind of culminate in now what is this insanely successful and really powerful tool in Trailhead. You must feel pretty proud of yourself and pretty awesome that you were able to kind of help make this happen.
It's still surreal to me when I see things like, I didn't know, I wasn't involved because I'm, you know, Dominique's our designer and all that stuff. So I wasn't involved in any of the ramp up discussion to the design of the Dev Zone from this last Dreamforce. So I'm just in a normal status meeting. I'm in a normal stand-up meeting. I'm just kind of doing my thing, and Dominique starts showing her slides, and I'm like, huh, that looks very park ranger-y. That kind of feels like, oh, they just designed everything after Trailhead. And it's just like, I think I froze. Like, it just didn't, if you asked me back in May when Reed was like having that conversation with Mike, like, would you think that this was going to happen? Like, I would send you to a psychiatrist. Like, there's no way that Trailhead is going to be the theme for the Dev Zone in the next year. And you're right. That year, from that May to that Dreamforce, it was probably one of the most exciting times in my entire career. And by the time career, I mean not just my time here at Salesforce. I mean, let's go all the way back to the State Farm days. And part of it was because at that point we bring in Sandeep to run the project. We're working with Jacob Lerman and Adam Perkis and Mike Papper on the dev team. Adam had the job of taking all of my code, which was in Node, and rewriting in Ruby, which there should be a medal for anybody who has to rewrite my code and make it production worthy. Like that's a badge of honor, like right there. The docs team had, I think they had designs for, I think we originally wanted to have enough content for two trails, and we thought that was going to be pretty heady. And we ended up with three. And we look back at this and we realized we got all this stuff done in like 4 months. I mean, it's just the life cycle of that first iteration of production Trailhead was crazy. But it was a lot of people. I think one of the great things about Trailhead is that you know you're putting something together which is going to make our admins' lives better and our developers' lives better. And so it feels like a project which makes it easy for people to get passionate about, because everybody who's been working on Trailhead seems wildly passionate about it.
So you spoke about Dreamforce, and we had the opportunity to work together at one of the Dreamforce, boy, I think it was in the developer zone. You were helping somebody customize an app. I forget, I kind of like parachuted in on the problem. And one of the things you asked me was, how do you change the logo at the top of the app? And I remember thinking to myself, this is the guy that built Trailhead. He can code like amazing things. He doesn't know how to change the logo on an app. Like, I feel pretty special. But it also made me realize that developers look at our platform so fundamentally different than what some of our admins do, and so fundamentally different than the way that I look at it. Like, I see a CRM first, and you see a platform first. And so I found that moment at Dreamforce kind of interesting, but I also thought it would be interesting to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, and I'm completely guilty. I mean, my response for if somebody asked me today, like, how do you change the logo? I think my response would be, well, it's in setup somewhere, I think. So it is in setup somewhere. And we also joked about the fact that I still never have done it. I've never changed the logo on a demo or anything like that. And it is a matter of perspective. I mean, if I go back to my first experiences with Salesforce, they are not setting up leads, and they're not even anything really to do with the sales flow. My first experience with Salesforce was working with the REST toolkit that Dave Carroll and Ron Hess put together, so that we could do things like JavaScript and Flex talking back to the APIs. And so really my first initial development experience with Salesforce was very, very API focused. And it really kind of has stayed that way. And so I have this kind of look at the problem, which is, can I do this with APIs? Can I do this with Apex? Can I do this with Visual Force? And while that's really good experience and knowledge to have, I think it's extremely important for developers to at least have a map in their mind of that other side of the coin, that this is not the whole world of the Salesforce development platform. And one of my favorite examples of this is I was in a requirements gathering back at Model, and it was me and a business analyst. And usually at Model, if it was a small project like what we were about to do, we got one developer and we got one business analyst, and the business analyst would handle any of the admin and any new user profiles or anything like that, and also like workflow rules and validation rules. And I would handle Apex and Visual Force or whatever kind of programmatic thing. And we got out of the requirements, and I'm talking to him like, well, that one thing that he needs, I can get that done with a trigger. It's not too hard, but it will probably take me about half a day to code. And then, you know, I'm going to need like a day or two just to make sure that we can test it before we actually like, you know, put it in their sandbox and really have them play around with it. He just looked at me like with this kind of blank face. And he's like, or I could take 10 minutes and write it in a workflow. And we're done. And I'm like, okay, let's do that then. That's a much better idea. And you know, if I had just held workflows in my little mental map of the Salesforce universe when I was listening to those requirements, then the idea of writing a trigger should never really come across my mind.
I mean, that's, you know, stresses the power of the partnership between the admin and the developer, right?
Absolutely. And if I think both signs are at least kind of keeping each other in mind, then having that conversation really does. Oh, I almost used the word synergy again. This is getting dangerous. It's a good partnership. It's a very good partnership.
Synergizing all the things.
Right.
Synergizing all the unicorns.
Well, so Josh, you know, we talked about a lot what you've done. What, you know, as a developer, what about what's happening with our platform, with the Salesforce platform, keeps you interested, keeps you going? Like, what are some of the things that keep you motivated to see what's next, and maybe some of the new possibilities that you're working on and exploring?
Yeah, so I got rolled into, and it's actually kind of karmic justice, because for a while Reed was kind of the IoT guy, especially from a developer relations point of view, and he really started the IoT zone at Dreamforce, and then Reed moved on to do other marketing things. So his sidekick for the second dev zone was Pat Patterson, and so Reed left, and Pat Patterson became kind of the head of the IoT zone this last year. And
so just for people who may not know what IoT means.
Ah, yes. Internet of Things. So when we have small pieces of hardware which are talking to sensors and also talking back to our platform, which in this last year, you know, previously that was a lot of really kind of hacky things. Like the first year we did this, he tasked me with setting up a banana keyboard. It's called a makey-makey, and it's just an example of using like electrodes and a banana hooked up to a small piece of hardware. I don't even think it connected to Salesforce in any like meaningful way. It was just a IoT thing that you could do. And so I kept teasing him. I'm like, you don't have the Internet of Things. You've got the Internet of Toys. You've got drones and little cars and all this kind of stuff. And I think it was that teasing, like karma was like, oh, well, if you're going to tease him about it, now that Reed's moved on to other pastures, now you get to be the sidekick to Pat Patterson. So I got pulled into the IoT zone this last year. And it is – IoT is a fascinating aspect of working with our platform right now. It's a huge growth market, I guess you could say. What we're seeing is a consumerization. So we've moved from banana keyboards to – in this last one at the IoT zone, we had a smart doggy door, like a pet door. And you would think to yourself, why would I need a smart dog door, right? Like that seems so gratuitous. And then they chip the dog, and the dog, and this also will work with your cat. And so the door knows when the cat is going in and out. So let's say you have a cat that you want to only allow to be outdoors after 11 a.m. And then after 6 p.m., he can't go back outdoors until he's had his food, because it's also connected with the feeder. So the cat will go to the feeder, and the feeder knows that the cat's actually eating the food, and then the fat cat can go back out. And you start hearing it like that, and like all of a sudden I want to move out to the suburbs just so I can play with this cat door. Like it has so many features to it. And all of that can be with our wonderful APIs, all of it can be pulled back into Salesforce. And so for Dreamforce last year, it was partially just to kind of entertain myself and to get a handle on different IoT devices, I came up with what I call my zombie killing demo. My zombie killing demo was an attempt to use as many IoT devices in a single demo while also having Salesforce in the middle of it. And so it's actually very difficult to describe because it is so complicated. But in the short version is my wife was a component of it. She was actually here in my study where I'm sitting right now waiting for a bulb, a smart bulb to blink, and that signaled her to press a button on what's called an Arduino board, which is a small piece of hardware, which basically just makes API calls. So it makes an API call into Salesforce, opens a case. That caused a smart bulb in Moscone when I was making the presentation to turn from green to red to let me know that there was a case that had been opened that's really important. And then I used an Amazon Echo, and an Amazon Echo is basically a Siri in a box. It looks kind of like the size and shape of a Pringles can, and it's got a microphone and a speaker. And so you can use it kind of like Siri. So I used the Echo to open my case, and then that was associated with a Chrome extension, which would manipulate my browser without having to use my hands. So I manipulated the case, and we found out that there was a zombie, and this is part where podcast doesn't work because I'm holding this – plushy zombie head in my hands right now, but nobody obviously can see it.
Plushy zombie head. I got it.
Yeah. And so the Raspberry Pi on my desk took a picture of the plushy zombie, which showed up in the case to let the audience know that the problem was that there was a zombie on my desk. And so then I pressed a button, which then indicated to my wife that it was time to dismember the zombie. She presses another button, which took another picture and closed the case within Salesforce. And so just this kind of, you know, how can we get all of these different devices and aspects of IoT to kind of play with each other? And it was also intended to kind of show people that when we say Internet of Things, we mean the Internet. Like, things can happen between San Francisco and Chicago in a somewhat meaningful way. I say meaningful in sort of air quotes since we're talking about killing plushy zombies. But with that, you know, we can have different time zones within a single demo, and the demo can still be pulled off.
I wonder.
Well, even plushy zombies can be scary, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. I wonder if your wife knows what she signed up for.
Not entirely.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, and Jillian, so the moral of that story is I have a great idea for Pat Patterson and Josh at Dreamforce this year. Pat could dress up as the IoT man, and Josh could be his sidekick, Banana Piano.
Oh, my goodness.
That would have, have to include a musical number, and I don't know if I can pull that off.
I don't know. You're pushing buttons and killing zombies halfway across the country.
Right.
I mean, this is probably one of my most magical episodes because we're talking about unicorns and, you know, talking bananas.
Plushy
and
zombies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know. Microchipped cats.
Microchipped,
I mean,
cats.
Crazy.
There's all kinds of stories. So Josh, as we kind of wrap up this part of the episode, I'd love to get some tips from you on how admins can work with their developers on just a project. It could be maybe a plushy zombie project, but from your perspective, working with the admin community, what would you love for admins to have as some top tips from Josh?
Yeah, I think it does go back to you know, my own kind of shortcoming when it came to just not having a working understanding of – I knew workflows existed, but I really didn't know what they did when I was in that requirements meeting. And I still very infrequently write workflows, but at least I have a pretty good working understanding of their limitations and where they exist and, like, if we were to write out an integration map. And so I think from both the developer and the admin side, it's really important to not – try to have any kind of a mastery necessarily of what the other half does, but to at least know what those working parts look like so that when you're trying to put the machine together, you know which cogs are going to be able to mesh up with other cogs. And this is going to sound totally like a shameless plug, partially because it is.
Well, we're all for those.
Hopefully that's what the podcast is there for. Well, probably one of the best things to do is to go to Trailhead, because Trailhead will allow you to do really basic even if you're not going through the challenges, which obviously I would recommend so that you can earn some additional badges. But the docs team has just done such a great job of writing fun, entertaining units that will teach you the basics of what's going on, that you might not know what object-oriented coding is, but you at least know that Apex classes are out there and they can do things like triggers. And so if you were in a situation where your workflow or your process builder isn't getting the job done, instead of assuming that that is the end of the story and that you've just hit a wall, know that Apex is out there and that's a conversation that you can have with the developer.
Well, I think it's, you know, as we come to the close here, we have one of our most popular rounds. We haven't done it for a while.
No, because
we have,
you know, you got
the
lightning round.
Yay, lightning.
You got to hold back the lightning every now and then.
Yeah, lightning round.
Right? No.
Maybe. Is that lightning, you know, TM?
Lightning in a bottle.
Ride the lightning like Metallica, like there we did on Saturday night.
Right.
Is there a lightning experience round joke in here somewhere?
There's the whole thing is the lightning experience joke.
I'm just struck
I do like that you called that
thunderous fun.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Right now.
All right. So, Josh, lightning round is 4 short answers. Nothing too heady, hopefully. And then
first thing that comes to your head.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Favorite Chicago meal?
The first one that jumps to mind, which is odd, is Luminati, which is weird because I usually tell people Pequot is my favorite pizza, but Lou's is a sausage Lou's pizza is pretty heavenly. So since it was the first answer to pop to mind, if you come to Chicago, go to Lou's, get the sausage pizza.
Great. We used to have we've had a little Lou's in, what's the other one?
Giordano's.
Yeah. We had a little competition between the two of them when we were in Chicago last time. Yeah. All right. Next question. Nerdier, Star Trek or Star Wars?
Nerdier, I have to kind of go with Star Trek because of all the technical jargon, which is in any single episode. And so I think on a scale of nerdiness, I think technical jargon has to be a huge dimension.
I think we might know the answer to this one, but coolest IoT thing you've seen?
Coolest IoT thing I've seen? Oh, gosh. It's the smart grill, I think. We had a smart grill at the IoT zone, which does everything that you would think a smart grill should have. And it's, once again, it's like, why would I need a smart grill in my life? And then you go through the demo and it's like, can I have the several thousand dollars that this thing costs? Like, unfortunately, Salesforce did not spring for Pat and I to bring that home.
Okay, smart grill. I'll have to go look that up and see what that is. All right. Precursor question. Did you watch any of the Super Bowl?
I did not.
You do not. Okay. Did you check out any of the Super Bowl commercials?
I did.
Okay. What's your favorite one?
My favorite one has to be the dog one, with the sheep that are singing, and then the dog that is talking. Because pretty much you put a talking dog. Oh, although quick second place would be the wiener run. So pretty much if you have dogs running in slow motion or talking to me, I'm sold. Like, your product is 100% better in my eyes.
So the next.
Well, yeah, I think the secret to success is you put an animal in a Super Bowl commercial, right, and everybody likes it.
Or a baby.
Unless it's Puppy Monkey Baby.
Right.
But not Puppy Monkey Baby. Yeah, I have to say, I don't get the Mountain Dew angle, because if anybody experiences anything in those commercials, your reaction should not be to follow the Puppy Monkey Baby out. It's to go to the ER.
Yeah.
Like, you are tripping hardcore. And you haven't been drinking Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
You might be on ayahuasca or something like that. Like, get to a doctor as quickly as possible.
If your product induces a puppy monkey baby hallucination, rethink your product.
Rethink your product. Yeah, I mean, I felt like every time I've seen those commercials that I'm experiencing something from The Evil Dead. I don't think that's a connotation that you necessarily want me to have.
Hey, but it got us all talking about it, didn't it?
It did. Way to go, marketers.
And I did name drop Mountain Dew, and I did not name drop Toyota and Heinz, which were now I have. So
okay,
now
they owe me money. Well, now we got them all now.
All right, awesome. And our fun question.
Fire away, right, Jillian. So here we go.
Fun question is, Josh, if you were a Salesforce release logo, which logo would you be?
That is an easy answer. I would be the penguin from, I believe, 2013. I think it was winter 2013. And
yeah,
I don't know how I could keep this, but I'll try to give you a quick anecdote as why that's my favorite logo ever. So I did a trip to India with Kavindra Patel. Kavindra runs part of our developer relations, and Kavindra had been trying to put together a workshop tour in India for years, and he finally got the okay to do it, and so he conspired to bring me with him. And this was one of the first times that we were also creating very custom content, because we were trying to deliver a very specific set of tutorials within the day and things like that. But we also wanted to make it fun. We sold out all three workshops in the first like 5 minutes, and that's not an exaggeration. Like, registration closed almost instantaneously as soon as we put up the site for this run. And we also wanted to make it fun. So at the end, we were doing like trivia and throwing people shirts and stuff like that. And so we were doing trivia questions. And most of the time, I mean, this was also in the first times, I'm in an audience of 200 people, maybe 30 of them are completely new, 30 of them are pretty advanced, 30 of them are intermediate. So a very diverse crowd. And so the trivia questions, for the most part, you know, I'm just on stage talking to 200 people throwing out trivia questions, and people are mostly just like, bam, like answer, bam, answer, bam. And the question was, what was the logo for Winner? And nobody knew. And so this entire 200 people, staring at 200 people, completely silent. And there's just no response. And everybody's kind of looking at each other. And so I lean in the mic and I'm like, you can Google it. And there's this momentary pause, and all of a sudden you hear clickety, clickety, click. You know, everybody's Googling all at the same time. And since everybody was Googling all at the same time, in unison, I had 200 people yelling penguin back to me. It was just penguin, penguin.
That's pretty awesome.
Nobody got it ever, but I can still, like, remember that visually. It was such a visceral experience. So it was fun. India was fun. I'd like to go back sometime, but so far I'd not have the chance.
Wow, that's very cool. Josh, I want to thank you for being on the podcast. This is a fun little conversation. I'm sure we could talk about internet-connected grills and fridges and doggy doors and showers for days.
All sorts of things. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I share a characteristic with Reed where it's hard to get me to shut up sometimes. So,
good thing you're an evangelist.
Right.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the podcast. So that was a great conversation with Josh. And in addition to admins, we talked to developers and we talked to marketers. So I think it'd be worth your time if you took a listen to what our friends down the hall are doing.
Thank you, Mike. Folks, I'm Joel Book.
And I'm Heike Young, and we are the co-hosts of the Marketing Cloudcast, the marketing podcast from Salesforce.
You know, on every episode of the Marketing Cloudcast, we talk to marketing leaders about the trends, the technologies, and the topics that matter most in marketing today. We are interviewing CMOs, authors, and anyone else who will give us the lowdown on what's really going on in digital marketing, all with the goal of making you a better marketer.
It's actually a really great companion to the marketing topics that Mike and Jillian cover. You can find our podcast on iTunes by searching for Marketing Cloudcast or learn more at salesforce.com/marketingcloudcast.
Josh's podcast was great today, but if you want the short Cliff Notes version, I am here with Jillian's notes from Josh's podcast. So the one thing I want everyone to take away from this that I really got about that is think about what's the unicorn you're working on? Because that's really what led Josh to kind of actually start the beginnings of what ended up as Trailhead, which is a pretty awesome story. Going from our traditional Elevate workshops to creating extra credit to creating this thing called Metals, which is now formed into this amazing, incredible experience called Trailhead. Trailhead is amazing, by the way, if you haven't heard about it before. And it's just been an amazing story. So think about what the unicorn is that you are working on. The other thing I took away from Josh's podcast today is that he comes at Salesforce looking at it as a platform, whereas most admins like us come at Salesforce looking at it as a CRM. Well, you want to be able to partner with these people so that you don't actually have to master developer tools and developers don't have to master admin tools. So the best way to do that is actually, of course, by going to Trailhead, but really kind of thinking about the best ways to plug and play the different skill sets. I mean, it's really incredible the power that can happen when, you know, Josh talks about being a developer and thinking about how he can create triggers and use the API to accomplish XYZ, where he talked to an admin and an admin was like, well, I can create that in 10 minutes by using a workflow. So really think about ways to partner with your developers because it's really incredible to see what can happen there and you can actually help them accomplish their goals as well. And lastly, IoTs are awesome. Internet of Things are super cool. I would like to have lots of Internet of Thingies in my house.
Have some banana pianos.
Banana pianos, right.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Cool. So we're to the part of the podcast where we give a shout out, a cheers or a high five to somebody. Jillian, do you have a shout out, cheers or high five to someone?
Well, I have a twofer because one is kind of superficial and awesome. And then the second one is a little bit more Salesforce-y. Well, the first one is a cheers to San Francisco. We hosted an incredible week plus long Super Bowl bonanza here in the city. And it actually turned out much better than I anticipated. It was kind of a pain in the neck in the beginning, but then it turned out to be quite an enjoyable, awesome party and our city really shined. So shout out to my hometown, San Francisco, for hosting an incredible Super Bowl experience. And then the shout out that I want to give is really to the Salesforce community. And I know that's kind of a cop-out because there's so many people in it, and I should name someone in particular, but especially in the last few weeks, you know, I've reached out to various folks within Salesforce and outside of Salesforce and just gotten so much thoughtfulness and positivity back from folks, you know, just anything I ask, questions or for help or even just, you know, connecting with folks. There is just so much awesome love there that it just blows my mind. So no specific story, but a combination of a lot of things in the last few weeks really makes me proud to be part of the Salesforce community.
Wow, that was great. So I'm going to give a high five. We did a Salesforce A webinar just the other day on Tuesday. In fact, if you Google it, you can probably find the URL. I'll include those in the show notes. But I was watching Twitter while we were doing the webinar, and I definitely wanted to give a shout out to a couple people that installed the app right away and tweeted about it. I know Melissa, I'm probably going to butcher your last name, Lindenberger, she tweeted that she just installed Salesforce A on her phone. And so I thought that was really cool. And I even got some tweets in today that people were installing Salesforce A on the phone. So I'm excited for that. I'm glad that you took the time to listen to the webinar. So a cheers for investing in yourself and taking that half hour and listening to us talk about some of our products and how they can make you better.
Yeah, and save you time and get you off your laptop and out and about and doing cool things without having to worry about answering email all the time.
Right. You could be in San Francisco when there's a Super Bowl.
And not be at your computer.
And not be at your computer, exactly.
That's great. So thank you all for joining us today. It was great to have you. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Salesforce Admins, no I, for all the latest and greatest from your awesome admin team. You can connect with our guest today, Josh Burke, on Twitter at Josh Burke. And of course, Mike, you're on Twitter at Mike Gerholt, and myself at G Medill.
And with that, I'm Mike and she's Jillian.
And we'll catch you next time in the cloud.